Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for Ruth, the book of Ruth, and in the line of David, type of the Gentile bride. Lord, all kinds of things we can learn. And I pray that tonight, should we take these four chapters, and thank you for the return, and thank you for tonight, Lord. I ask that your spirit would teach us, and this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I hope you enjoyed the return. It should work if you've ever been away from the Lord and you made it back. Chapter one is awesome. Or if you go away often and you return often, then chapter one's even better. But there's some wonderful things of what it meant for Naomi to return, and Ruth also returned, even though she'd never been there before. It's a great type of the Gentile bride. I mean, you think about what it meant to be far off, that Jesus would save Gentiles. I just read Acts chapter 10 and 11. I read the whole accounting again, how it was that God wanted to save the Gentiles. He needs Peter's witness, evidently, to get him there. And getting Peter there in the way that he did, and then Peter took other witnesses, and it pleased God to save the Gentiles. He gave them, I read it, and the words hit me. They received the word, and then they received the Holy Spirit. Again, but it says like this: those that receive the word receive the Holy Spirit. That's Acts chapter 10. That's Gentiles. And what a wonderful picture that is with Ruth. And again, I'm not going to talk much about that. I don't think so. But I want to apply something tonight. And I find it important, as we studied the return and took a look at James chapter 1 last week, that we would let patience have its perfect work in our lives. And in many ways, I mean, some of you probably grew up, your parents went to church. And like mine, my parents had always gone to church, but we weren't saved. By the time we were going to church, there was no regeneration. There was no gospel being preached. You would have teachings out of the gospel every Sunday, but yet always empty of the response to the gospel. So rather interesting to find out that when I turned to the Lord, and then all that word of God was in there. And chapter 1, and again, I think of book of James, and I'm not teaching James, but I'm watching this Holy Spirit work in us over no longer being double-minded. And it began in James chapter 1, and really in the trials. And just like Naomi had left and to the 12 tribes scattered abroad, James's letter becomes very valuable if you've ever backslidden, if you've ever went through those trials, and to count it joy and to let patience have its perfect work. And how long did it take you to get back? It took me 10 years to make it back. And I think of that phrase of letting patience have its perfect work and then making it back. The rest of the book of James makes a whole lot of sense to me. I finally understood temptation. I just continued in chapter 1. I am drawn away by the own lust in my heart, and then when that lust gave birth, and then sin was born, and then sin, when it comes full grown, brings forth death. I mean, that's the rest of chapter 1. Don't be just hearers of the word, but be doers. It's not enough to know about the word of God. It's to know and do the word of God. So these are the things that I kind of carry around with me going through the book of James, and then chapter 2, faith without works is dead. I mean, if we're going to say that we now, again, you think of all the people who say they're Christians and might not be born again. I mean, what a wonderful thing it is to be born of him and then do the works that he's prepared for you, all by faith, and it's alive. And I went to a dead church growing up my entire time. And when I turned and came back to the Lord, and what it was to be saved and then to be alive in Christ, and then you get on to chapter 3, and it's all about the tongue, that nobody can control that thing. And you get on to chapter 4, and then where do wars and fights come from among you? And the best way for me to understand this for the first time in my life when I came to the Lord, and what I found in Calvary Chapel, was the grace of God. That there really was an acknowledgement that the scriptures were true, And this really, the war and fight really that I was going through, again, which you go through, and I'll be fighting it the rest of my days between flesh and spirit. Don't think for a moment you're gonna get better in this life. You might realize that there's times where your flesh is stronger and like, wow, that darkness was coming back, and then I even wanted to do these things, and then there's times when you're like, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, like, I'll never sin ever again. I'll never go back to the flesh. And it's just not true, because we carry that body of death around, and that's why the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And that gospel according to grace all throughout the book of Romans becomes a dynamic thing. So taking a look at that and saying all these things to us, I've entitled chapter 2 of Ruth, I've called it The Recognition. And I was listening to, like, I had the 4 hours last week, and is that really what we're going to do with chapter 2? And the answer to that obviously is yes. But here it is. It's the recognition of his grace. So now I'm going to charge you, right, as you now study tonight together with me and we read. Now, the word recognition in and of itself means, well, kind of like when you've seen somebody before and you see them, oh, I recognize you. Okay? So recognition, this only works for us. It doesn't work for Ruth and Naomi walking through it the first time. But for us who have been away and returned, chapter 1 is very valuable. But now I want chapter 2 to be just as valuable for each and every one of us, that if you have been away and then you returned, I want you to look for the recognition of the grace of God. I want you to see in Ruth's life and the circumstances or the hand of God, the leading, guiding. The only way I can sum up chapter 2 is I recognize the grace of God upon Naomi and Ruth's life. They returned. And this is my heart for those that are backslidden. Just get back. Get back to Jesus. And look for the recognition. I want you to see this tonight in chapter 2, the recognition. What are you recognizing? You might see it in your own life. That's okay tonight. All right. This, remember, we studied Ruth, and it turned to a personal nature of what individuals go through. God wants this in your life, and I want you to see the recognition of the grace of God. As far as I can tell with Ruth and Naomi, they don't really have a pedigree before this, if you will. They don't have that they were known and they were in royalty. But after this, this has become this part of the line of Christ, written and recorded for all of us. And in much the same way, you might recognize in your own life before Christ, you really weren't anything or anyone. In fact, I was like really not running a good course, and I really thought myself to be someone, but I really was not someone. Which again, that matches with Romans 12:3, by the grace of God, again, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought. And again, it comes by the grace of God. So let's look for this recognition. And I'm going to share the things I recognize, because hopefully you've seen them in your life. Hopefully you've seen, and then the basis of this whole thing is by the grace of God. I was rereading a chapter this afternoon of Why Grace Changes Everything. And I mean, when I read that book, finally, it's like, I can't, will never be able to, with my own efforts, make any of this stuff change. But by the grace of God, all these things can change in my life. And that's really what I look at in chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. So even in the record, just you go back to the last statement, 22 was Naomi returned, and Ruth, right, they returned out of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of harvest, and it's just set up in the recognition of grace. They're there, and think about it, they were Naomi left because of famine. They heard the report, and even the grace that they arrive at harvest. And then the introduction in chapter 2, and just begin this recognition. the kinsman. Now, this is not the Goel here. He is the Goel, right, which is the kinsman redeemer, also the avenger of blood, one and the same in the under the word, you know, under the law, that the next of kin would be the one who would buy back the property for another. And again, it becomes a beautiful picture in that, and I'm just thinking this all through, and I begin to recognize this is, for me, it's the Ephesians chapter 2, saved by grace through faith. I mean, just the recognition that I could not save myself. If you look at what's going to happen here, and again, we read ahead, but it sets right there, and if you will, it identifies Boaz. And it says a mighty man of wealth. Well, don't get too hung up on the word there for wealth, because many times it would come across as power, all right, or even valor. Again, so this is a great, again, type here of our Redeemer who is mighty. Again, you think of what this is all about. Only Jesus had the price that could pay for us. And you think of like that he had that power over, again, and you kind of see the connections already beginning to form by the grace of God. So I recognize we needed a kinsman. And so Ruth needed a kinsman. Naomi needed a kinsman. She doesn't have anything left. Remember the phrase? I went out full. I've come back empty. When you heard the gospel. Again, I like that. I don't know how you knew to bring that up tonight. And Sarah's worshiping and praying. The Holy Spirit, just remember the day you were saved. We were in Colorado in June, and we drove by the church where John got saved. And we didn't get to go in, did we? We got a picture of John outside of the building. I guess there was no church there because the people weren't there. But we went to his new birthplace. Pretty fun stuff, you know. And you consider that of what it was, you at some point, that conviction of the Holy Spirit, and you recognized your need and said, and for me it was very real because I lived like I had life. And it wasn't until that I heard the gospel, and it wasn't the first time, that I was actually convicted, and much the same, I needed a Savior. And that very real sense that I needed to be saved. It wasn't just an option. When that conviction of the Holy Spirit comes, and it's like Ruth and Naomi don't have another option. They left Moab and they came back, and they came back to be once again in Bethlehem, and they don't have another option. Ruth the Moabite has said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And I come to verse 2 and just the recognition of God's grace. Under the law, again, provision for those who did not have. They could go out and glean in the field. And they could gather and they could have food and they would live. And so what a grace of God under the law. I mean, you think of how wonderful in the recognition of this. I think of even when, because mine was 10 years gone backsliding, even when I was gone, the Lord, again, cared, you know, for me all that time. So you go to, like, just recognize the grace. When you begin to learn the Word of God. So this is Ruth beginning to learn the Word of God. She's beginning to learn the Word of God, and she finds out that there is this command to those as they're harvesting not to harvest the corners of their fields. And if something drops to the ground, or if a sheaf would fall off when they were carrying it back, you just leave it. That was God's grace to those who did not have. But they had now in this recognition, and I recognize this in my own life, when I began to understand the Word of God. And many of us, I think, and I see it in Ruth, and this is the recognition of the grace of God, that God is already the way that He is, and He's already given us all of His commands, and His Word is way ahead of us and for us. And all we're doing is like, oh, I need to go. I need to go and glean, if you will. And that's what I like, to walk in the Word. And so I just look here, I have a recognition, a grace to glean. These things that before I would have walked right on by, oh, I don't need that, don't want that, or didn't care about anything of the Word of God. And then I would go and listen to Bible studies, or I'd be reading my Bible, or I'd be reading books, again, Christian books. I just began to glean over the Word of God. And what a grace that God, I mean, to me, it's a fantastic thing that God's Word is a seed. You know, so you have two parts to this. So when you're putting it into the ground, putting it into your heart that it may grow, but here you're talking harvest, that now you can pick up that word and it's food for you. And so the word there for glean literally is to pick up that which has fallen. And likewise then the grain that had fallen on the ground. And so what a grace to dig it, here a little, there a little. I mean, I don't know what your perspective was, but I mean, how fast should I know the Word of God? Where do I get the Word of God? And then just picking it up here and there. What a grace to go. What a grace to glean. And the word unto her was go. You know, and so many things that you find in the Word of God, you're like, oh, I don't have to sit here, and God doesn't have to provide for me a reason to get going. I should already be going and do these things. Grace, right? And she went and came and gleaned in the field that the reapers, after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. And again, seeing the grace of God here, that just happened to be in the field of which was prepared for her to be redeemed. I mean, does it ever dominate your thoughts in such a way that when you heard the gospel, you believed and you received, and you're like, and then you see others and you're like, I ask the question, why did this happen to me? Or it happened that way, that I was there, and it happened unto me that I was there, and you recognize what the grace of God becomes overwhelming. Because how else can you explain your life? If you can explain your life by your works, well, then it's not grace. And all I have tonight in chapter 2 is the recognition of God's grace, and I see it in Ruth, where she happened to light on a part of the field. It's the exact opposite of the consequences, or having fallen into the trial. And now, and this to me, as I look back, and so my recognition of the grace of God is, you know, just circumstances seemingly, but it kind of works something like this, that at the time when I was saved, it happened that my brother had met a friend in high school who led him to the Lord. And after my brother got saved, then he began to share with all of us. And that's really how my family got saved over time. And then as we went to hear the gospel, and the day that I received, I saw the grace of God. But it's even more now for me, because when I was gone 10 years and I made it back, and here's the recognition. The recognition is what happened to so-called light upon my life, that I would listen to God and return to Him. In that context for me, I recognize the grace of God just in that phrase, happened to light upon the part of the field. Well, my roommate, who I was living with at the time, two of us, two-bedroom home, I was renting from one of my coworkers. He was a landlord, and he had a house in North Fargo. Let's see, that was on 2nd Street. Was that on 3rd? That was 3rd. 1325 3rd, maybe it was. Something like that. And just living there, and all of a sudden my roommate's like, I'm going to move to Duluth and go back to school. And so I'm like, well, what am I going to do? And so the landlord actually just slashed the rent in half to just finish out the lease. And so I stayed there, but now I'm all alone. And I don't think I had ever lived alone in my entire life. But it was that when I was living alone, and it's like, I'm no longer going to watch TV. And I don't know what that was all about either. But so I was reading. And so I'm just reading books. But one of those nights, as again just happened upon these circumstances in my life, and I made it back, because on one of those nights, just like this, had this clear sense, I need to read the Bible. And I read the Bible that night, and I made a dig through all my boxes of my belongings, and I had a Bible, like through the year Bible. And again, I got to read Revelation tonight. I look back, and like now I see the grace of God all over the place. That was God's hand. I look at Ruth. Now, while she's walking through this, she doesn't know that. Because, I mean, if you read through the rest of the chapters, then she knows it. And that's the way this is written. This is written like you're telling the story of what happened, the story that never would have been written if she never would have gone. Let me go and glean. Just think of your life. The life that never would be if you would not have, by the grace of God, got up. And then you can look back. And so I'm recognizing God's grace in my life. And this is what I want you to do tonight. This is the recognition. I look back, I do not recognize my great accomplishments. I recognize a lot of failure. I recognize a lot of like running away from God. I recognize a lot of like my worst sin was done as a backslider, even worse than before I'd come to the Lord. The recognition. And I don't have to hide those things. Okay? If you still have to hide the sin that you did, I want you to recognize God's hand upon your life in that the field that she happened to light upon would belong to Boaz. And now we know what's coming. So even in all the sin that you did, do you recognize the grace of God to get you out of that situation? In fact, it might be that sin that actually got your attention, like, I can't believe I did that, or I can't believe I did that again. Whatever that recognition you're taking. And then all I look at is, what, Lord, why me? Why did I happen to be in that place? I'm kind of overwhelmed by the recognition as I've studied. And I don't think it's a bad thing for us to see that. 4 says, Behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, The Lord be with you. And they answered him, The Lord bless thee. When I turned to walk with the Lord by the grace of God, my brother was right there. He'd been praying and waiting a long time. He had been praying and waiting. And I mean, he knew what I was doing. He knew I was running from God. And in many ways, my brother was that for me in the beginning. Is that he just started talking about the Lord with me. He's the only one in my life that would talk about the Lord with me. Just kind of like that, I recognize the grace that when I turned, there was one close to me who would talk about the Lord. And then he would ask, well, what does God think about that? What a question. Or what's God's will for you? And God had my attention. And I just see this in the recognition of the grace of God that God put Boaz. And then you look at his life. My brother didn't run away for 10 years. Not only is he the one that through him, the rest of our family got saved. He walked with the Lord the entire time. And so when I turned, and he's been instrumental in leading my grandpa and my grandma to the Lord before they died. I mean, like God's used him and the family. I can't even do stuff like that, like he does with my family. He does. And I recognize just that even the way that Boaz is, he's not just some guy here for Ruth. I mean, God's hand, God's grace is upon her life. Then Boaz said unto the servant who was set over the reapers, Whose damsel is this? And that servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. Now, I grew up in a small town, and I recognize Bethlehem, small town living. I wanted to get out of the small town, not because I was living righteously, but because I wanted to sin. See, when I got away, and I recognize this, even in that, like this, Boaz has servants, like a servant set over the reapers. I mean, I recognize the nature here, again, of it wasn't going to work for me. A team concept wasn't going to get me to the Lord. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, my brother was serving God. My brother was, at that point, he was an assisting pastor, and he would, from time to time, say those things that he was doing while he was serving the Lord. And I recognize the grace of God here for Ruth and what's going to happen for her. And she said, I pray, let me glean and gather after the reapers. Now, among the sheaves. So again, she's walking in the word in the beginning, and so she's asking, and she's, again, she came, she continued from evening till now. She worked all day long, even though, or until the time he came, and she rested a little while in the house. And here's my recognition. And for me, it's 1 Corinthians 15:10. That's what I recognize, right? Where Paul says that he received the grace to labor more abundantly than they all. He says, I labored more abundantly than all, yet not I, but the grace of God upon my life. And I think about this, I recognize it, and I see it right away here with Ruth. And again, I'm just going to recognize this. When we fall into various trials, many times we're tempted to sin. That's why James 1 puts that together. So our faith is being tested, but Satan comes to tempt. Or we, when we're pressed, we just think we need to fulfill a lust and life would be better. That's James 1. And I look at that here, and by the time you get through to 2 and then to 3, and I'm watching this, and I recognize here, all these trials, and patience has had a good work in Ruth. And what do you recognize? Like, so I'm already into this as I recognize the grace of God, a grace to serve God. When I found out that not only could I come back after 10 years and that I could just, I mean, just to get back with the Lord and then to get the sin over, again, the lust that had taken me. I mean, I could have just easily died in that 10 years of backsliding. I recognize the grace of God. If you have that testimony, how many times? I replayed it one time and like, more than once. And I thought about the stuff I was doing, like, oh, I could have died that night. I could have died. And I realized just how many times the stuff that I was doing was actually that close to death. And in describing this and then to see that recognition, not only could I make it back, but when I found out I could serve him. I mean, and this is what I see in 7. And so I think of Paul, like when his life and how he made it back, and then God gave him a calling, but then there was this grace upon his life. And the only way he could describe what he gets to do, but the grace of God. And he did a lot more, and he did a lot of things. And when I started to serve the Lord, and I just started to do all these things, and I didn't realize all the stuff I was doing, and now I know what that is, and all I can say is, by the grace of God. And those that get close to me in my life, especially people who work with me, and then they see like how I work and my schedule, like I recognize the grace of God to be able to do all these things. And I would read these things, and there was one guy who he basically ran two full-time schedules. He did a 5-to-1 and then a 2-to-10. Well, that's a guy in the ministry. That's a guy doing twice as much work. Grace to labor more abundantly than another. And I just go back to this, what I recognize here with Ruth, she arise, go to the field and glean, and she got called into the ministry, if you will. I didn't know this, but I recognize, and again, I just want to encourage all of you, she's not lazy. I think laziness will kill. I mean, and I look at this, she continued, Boaz said unto Ruth, and this is part of her character, hearest thou not my daughter? So he gets her attention, and look what he says to her. Do not glean in another field, neither go from here, but abide here fast by my maidens. Just a grace to abide. And then I learned it, and again, just recognizing this, grow in the field where you have been planted. What a grace. What a grace to like simply say, I mean, how many times... Like I knew Christians, and they're like, I got to change everything in my life. Just slow down. A grace of God to grow right where you're planted, and really a grace to abide. Let thine eyes be on the field after they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? Like, what an amazing grace that she experiences of that protection. And when thou art thirsty, go into the vessels and drink of them which young men have drawn. I mean, just the blessing, when I turned to walk with the Lord and then began to serve him, things like this was happening in my life, and a blessing. There was a major one that deeply impacted my life, and it blew me away. And it's when we were living in Grand Forks, and the Holy Spirit had made it clear we were going to be leaving Grand Forks. And this was in March, and I just told my boss, hey, I'm leaving. I don't know when I'm leaving, but I'm leaving. So you're going to need to replace me. I was the controller. So I'm the business unit controller. That's all the financial, reporting and administrating of all the bookkeeping and staff. And at that point, I was also like basically doing the IT work there because nobody else there did any IT work. So I'm doing all these things, and again, grace to do all this stuff and to learn it. And that's why I have this recognition when I come to this tonight. And I see that just the blessing of when I left Grand Forks, I moved here. It was between here or St. Paul to be involved in the kingdom of God. And the decision was this: I'm going to go and serve God. I need to get more involved in church, and I need to serve God. And I didn't know if that was all the way to St. Paul or to Fargo-Moorhead. What I did know is I sought out for 15 months thereabouts in Grand Forks, where am I to be at? And that's when God made it clear that there was no place that I was going to be there. And the day that I told my boss and set this plan up and said, and I put the house on the market, I found out on Saturday or Sunday at my very first men's retreat. Came back on Monday, called the realtor that we bought the house from, said we need to sell our house. It was sold and closed in 6 weeks, and we bought a house and moved down to Moorhead. And I look at all that, and I look back now, hand of God, but the grace of God. And the day that I moved, right, I was just working up to that, like, okay, what am I going to do with my job? They gave me a company car. They said, will you drive back up and finish your obligation through year end, hire your replacement, train him, get him going in the new year, and here's $30,000 more a year, and you get a car, $30,000 more, and when that's done, we have a position for you in West Fargo. And I'm like, all I could say was, I didn't know serving God was like that. So what I recognize, Matthew 6:33. Do you recognize the grace of God in this? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. And then after about six years later after that, the Lord says, now walk away and lay that job down. It was never mine. I didn't get it. You know, I could talk for hours tonight. Don't intend to. But I just give you a glimpse of this grace. Verse 10, then she fell on her face, bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Do you know how many mornings I've been on, again, whether I'm on my face or, my first Bible was tear-stained. I don't know if you guys understand that. My first Bible would have drops of tears on it. And then these note cards and writing these things down. And it's like she's humbling herself. She's falling on her face. And she says, why have I found grace in your eyes that you should take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? Now, just want to briefly touch on this because we've been working through this double-minded. I'm not double-minded. I think you all know that now. And I pray that the grace of God comes to you in such a way too that it's like, let's face it, is it works or grace? I'm just trying to make a very compelling recognition for you tonight. All of you are here by the grace of God. I know all your lives. There's not one that can say like, now there's one person in church who really did it all right. But see, that's the war. That's the war. And Satan loves to to do that. James 4, let's pick up the second double-minded passage in James. The only two places that phrase is used to that double life or the two souls or twice souls, twice-souled life, you know. From whence come wars and fights among you? I know that answer. Right? The war and fight that we're all dealing with is the battle within over flesh versus spirit. Doesn't work so well when you're following the flesh. I mean, at some point, the double-minded part, God will continue all of the trials in your life to perfect you until he changes you. Do you hear that? I suggest get on to, Lord, change me now by the grace of God. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Even of your lusts that war in your members. Now, we don't get this from Ruth and Naomi, and I'm not saying they did it, that when they had nothing that they would sit and fight with each other. I'm not saying they did that, but what happens to us when we go through trials? Sometimes the worst fights are between the two going through the trial together in their home. I mean, it's reality. Where do wars and fights come from among you, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and ye have not. You kill, you desire to have, and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. And this to me is the spiritual warfare that James is talking about within, and how many times that causes the family members just to destroy each other. And I'm reading and recognizing in Ruth, they're through this. When I get to Ruth 2:12, 2:10, they're through this. You adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? She already left the world, right? Remember when she said what? I'm going to serve your God. Where you go, I go. Where you die, I die. Where you live, and your God is my God. She's already left the world. See, what's the biggest problem typically in our warfare? We don't leave the world. Now, again, I just recognize the grace of God here. Who therefore ever wants to be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. And that's exactly what he said to me when I read Revelation that night. After 10 years of backsliding, I was an enemy of God. I was very friendly with the world. Knew all the answers, all the music, the movies, the whole thing. Just all in. Do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy? Talk about grieving the Holy Spirit. I was born again, 10 years, and I took him through all that. And so to think that the spirit that dwells in us lusteth to envy, now I understand why he came and got me. I mean, by the grace of God, but this is why. Verse 6, and this to me is Ruth 2:10. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. Then cleanse your hands, purify your hearts, you double-minded. I'm looking at Ruth in this recognition, and all I can see is she's humbled herself, and she receives more grace. Do you realize how humbling it is to have nothing? That's Ruth and Naomi. So if your trial involves losing everything, just get on with it. If that's the only way you'll be separated from the love of the world, let it happen. Okay? Or whatever it might be, whatever you're lusting for and you can't get it and obtain it anymore, this is where the grace of God to carry the cross. And I find that Ruth is through this because she humbles herself and she gets more grace. Even though she's not of Israel. Boaz answered and said unto her, it's been fully showed to me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother in the land of your nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. What a grace. Maybe this is your testimony. I didn't know anything about the Lord. Maybe your testimony is, I never grew up in church. Didn't know anything. you might be the only one in your family saved. I mean, my testimony is different, but do you recognize the grace here? There's no reason she should be getting this grace. And the look at 2:12. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I recognize, man, did my life change when I came to the Lord and rested in him and trusted in him. I don't know if you understand how important that was for me to see what God could do. Because I didn't have my life together. I was playing volleyball and I was a bill collector for 6 years. I purposefully did that job so it would stay out of the way. It doesn't really provide well for a family though, right? And then you recognize, I mean, the recognition, I just look back by the grace of God, this blessing. And then when I turned, and then the work in the Lord, and I began to learn how to do that, the recompense of thy work, God is going to reward everyone according to their deeds. This is not works-based. This is by the grace of God. And I have this recognition. When I get to heaven, I just think of all these things that my life's completely different of what it was going to be. I was going through the Proverbs this week and just drawn under the phrase of, there are many plans in a man's heart, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. And I just started recounting all my plans. I have different sections of my life that I was planning. I'm so glad none of them worked. But the answer of the tongue from the Lord, and it comes with trial and then the disobedience. All I can point to is the grace of God. By the grace of God, I have a different life. Now I'm looking forward to the reward. My biggest thing in my early plans, my biggest thing was I wanted to sin. I had to figure out how to repent right before I would be judged. I knew I was wrong. I knew the reward for how I wanted to live. And then I see, I mean, what a phrase to, like, the Lord reward you according to your work. You trusted in God. I recognize the grace of God. Now I'm actually looking forward to heaven for the reward. Recognition of grace. She says again in 13, let me find grace or favor in thy sight, my Lord. You have comforted me. You have spoken friendly unto thine handmaid, though I be not like one of the handmaids. And so many times I recognize the grace. I would pastor, but I'm not a pastor. I never wanted to be, and this is nothing. And I recognized these various things that God began to do, and all I could describe was the grace of God. It's like this favor in God's sight. Why would God give me so much favor? When the way Tanya and I had lived, met, and lived in the other direction, when I turned to follow the Lord, the grace of God, she turned too. And then I got called into the ministry, again, just working through all that. And then she said, well, I'll do that as well. How do you describe this other than the grace of God? Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord. If that just became all of our prayers. And Boaz said unto her, at mealtime, come here and eat of the bread and dip your morsel in the vinegar. She's a stranger, and she's like the least, not even employed, and she gets to sit down with Boaz, and he eats with her. It's like an amazing thing. Just the grace of God all over that. Maybe the beginnings of their romantic relationship. I don't know. She sat beside the reapers. He reached her parched corn. He just keeps giving her food, and she eats, and she was sufficed. Again, she ate enough and then left. That's described later in verse 18, that she took some home for her mother-in-law. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, look at the grace of God here. Let her glean even among the sheaves and reproach her not. So, I mean, literally, like if she, like anything like on, like near the sheaves as they're gathering them up, she could pick up all those. And she gleaned in the field, also let some handfuls of purpose for her. And I look at 16 and like, that God would do things that way. That God would give you what you don't deserve. And I, This is why I mean, if someone's backslidden, I don't ever give up on them. You know, I was backslidden. It's just like the command to love the stranger because they were strangers. And I look at this grace of God, and just the things, and I would read my Bible, and it's like there's things that were just put in there, like circumstance, reading the word. It's like a handful dropped on purpose. Like God put that there for me to read, and that was for me. You know? Huh. There's one thing we'll never know, if I can catch her or not. No, we know that. We know you can't throw. We just don't know if I can't catch. Oh, thank you. I needed that. I was... Jamie can't throw. Jamie can't throw. But she does recognize a need that she could do. And just the things that God put. And why those tears when I was reading my Bible? Because God was talking to me in the Word of God. And I don't know, you read a verse and like, that's my life. And those to me are those handfuls dropped on purpose. And what I found in the Word of God was the grace of God. That God would be that personal. And this to me is, this is Ruth. I mean, this is personal for her. This is God going out of the way for her. So I say every trial's worth it. Famine's worth it. All that backsliding I did, I'm not going away. I mean, I'm not even thinking like there's nothing I want to go do anywhere else anymore. Does that make sense? I'm like, and so like, why do I live that way? Well, by the grace of God. And then those things that handfuls dropped on purpose, that then leave them there for her. Give her more. I mean, like, rebuke her not. She gleaned in the field till evening and comes home with about an ephah of barley. She took it up, went to the city, and shows her mother-in-law what she had gleaned. She brought it forth, and then she also gave the food that she had left over from eating after she was satisfied. And her mother-in-law said unto her, where hast thou gleaned today? I just remember many times, I mean, when I was pastoring and then serving and after I left my career and then just taking all these part-time jobs, lowest jobs I've ever worked. But in taking those lowest jobs, there's those moments where like God is meeting those needs, but the people, but the relationship with the Lord, like how do you make it on that? By the grace of God. And I wouldn't change a thing. And her mother-in-law said, where did you glean today? This is day one. I mean, do you realize this is the first day that she went? All this grace of God comes upon her life. Blessed be he that did take knowledge of you. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had worked or wrought. And the man's name whom I wrought today was Boaz. Back to seeing the hand of God. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who has not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And isn't this really what we really want to know from the Lord, is that his kindness? And honestly, if you think about this part, that God would take you back, and he didn't just put you off to the corner, but he takes you back. And then he gives you something to do. And then this kindness upon your life. I hope you recognize the kindness that he's shown you. Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin. And this is where we get on to the Goel. This is where that he's one of our next kinsmen. Now, Naomi, if you haven't caught it yet, is discipling Ruth. That's where she knew about the gleaning. This is where she's finding out about the kinsman redeemer. Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with his maidens, and that they meet thee not in any other field. Now, hopefully you recognize the grace of God. It's like when I came back to the Lord, I'm not going back to mess around in the world anymore. Now, you might have a different testimony, and maybe it took you two or three times before you understood, I'm going to stay right here. I'm staying with the Lord. The grace of God. So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of the wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law. So, the recognition of his grace. God will purposefully humble you that you might know his grace. What do you think all those low jobs that I took were really all about? You know, barely being able to make the mortgage. You know, working, and these were all necessary, again, to equip and to train me. First 10 years, again, very little to show for any growing in ministry or even all that grace to labor. Starting a church, driving up to Grand Forks twice a week, full-time job, you know, getting all these things that come about. And all, I just look back, grace to do all that stuff. Now, I'm not here to talk about my life. I'm just using my life, and I come to chapter 2. And I hope to God that all of you can have this recognition from your own life as you look at chapter 2. And like, I recognize what Ruth went through. I recognize what Pastor went through. And I have the recognition of God's grace. I didn't know how to describe it before, but there's not a thing I can't. There's nothing I've gone through that I can't account another way. If I would say that I did any of this, it'd be a lie. Or if I arrived at it on my own, or I, again, even backsliding, what a grace to make it through. Why didn't I die? And I just, again, if you're going through trials, again, that's James chapter 1. But 4 is when you've gotten through it and you're no longer warring. And you just come down to one thing. Right? You come down to one thing. You humble yourself in the sight of God. He gives you more grace. You resist the devil. He flees from you. And you're like, Lord, I'm a sinner. Wash me clean. You know, at some point, each and every one of you has got to understand how important it is to bring your life to the light. You know, I've been doing this for 20 years. You all know everything about me. And I don't mind living that way. The grace of God, it's like I was 4 different people before I walked with the Lord. It just segregated who got to see what part of my life. And by the grace of God, just this recognition. So the return, the recognition. So the strong word last week is don't go away. Right? Stay. And if you've been away, again, every one of us in some way, shape, or form have been away from something and come back. You know. And do you recognize God's grace upon your life? So Father in heaven, thank you for tonight. I ask that you would bless your people abundantly to find grace in your sight. You've comforted us. You've spoken kindly to us. Lord, you've fed us. Lord, our life in you, Jesus, truly you have satisfied us. And we have leftovers for others that we can share the things you've given us. Lord, what a grace. I just think of those things you put into the Word. You put them there on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.